Blog Talk Radio.
From the world we see to the unseen world we sometimes see that makes us stand in awe of God's universe, this is Betsy Belega welcoming you from Cape Washington in the south to Nunavut and the Northern Lights in the Arctic Circle, from the White House gates to Lionsgate, from Casablanca to everyone listening around God's globe. Hi, Gigi. This is Tuning In with Betsy from marvelous Manhattan, terrific Toronto, and paranormal Pennsylvania. Today, my very special guest is Stan Gordon. Since 1965, Stan Gordon has been conducting on-scene investigations of mysterious encounters in Pennsylvania, my home state. He has been involved with the examination of thousands of UFO and other strange reports from across the Keystone State. Stan has served as the Pennsylvania State Director of MUFON. He continues to investigate information concerning the controversial UFO crash retrieval case, which occurred on December the 9th, 1965, near Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. He has written two books, Really Mysterious Pennsylvania and Silent Invasion, the Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot Casebook. His website can be found at www.stangordon.info. And Stan, I want to thank you so very much for taking time from your very busy schedule to be on the show today.
Thank you for having me on here, Betsy.
Well, since I'm a Pennsylvanian, right, I don't have to be from Missouri. I believe it. But how did you ever get started investigating the paranormal way back when?
Well, actually, I started when I was 10 years old back in 1959. And how I got started was my birthday happens to be during the Halloween season. And I was going to be 10 years old, and my parents decided to get me a birthday gift as an AM radio. And I was listening to the AM radio that night, and because of Halloween, there were some radio shows on, and they were talking about unusual happenings, haunted houses and flying saucers and strange creatures. And I was very much into science and electronics back in those days. I was very curious, and I'm listening to these reports, and I'm wondering, are these people making these stories up, or are they telling the truth? So that led me on a long search for all the books and magazines, whatever I could find at the local Greensburg Library, and began to scrutinize the newspapers and made scrapbooks out of articles I saw in the local paper. And if something would appear in the local news, if somebody claimed to have seen something unusual, I called them on the phone, interviewed them, and kept records of it. And then I was 16 years old back in 1965 when the Kecksburg incident happened about 12 miles from where I lived in Greensburg. And I started on that case the night it began to be broadcast on the news, and I'm still working on it. This year will be the 50th anniversary. And from there, I just continued on. I got much more involved, and I can tell you more about that if you're interested.
Oh, I am interested. Continue.
Okay, well, anyhow, late 1960s, well, I should say after the Kecksburg case, 65, I began to go out in the field to do firsthand investigations of UFOs and cryptids and anything strange and unusual. And in the late 60s, I got involved with a small group in Pittsburgh called the UFO Research Institute. That was the small group that Stanford Friedman started out with. And I was the youngster in the group, as I recall, but I became the telephone sighting coordinator. So when they would get a report of a sighting, it would come to my home. I would do the initial interviews and determine if the case warranted more investigation or research. And I stayed with them until they closed down their operation. And in 1969, I decided I would set up my own hotline for the public, and I began to make contact with the media around here, the local police, and to tell them what I was doing. Of course, back in those days, there was a lot of ridicule, so I tried to handle it very seriously. And within weeks, as people began to find out about my hotline, the phone on my house is ringing off the hook day and night. And they're calling in about everything, UFOs plus anything strange and unusual. It became very apparent this was much more than I can handle on my own. So it became my focus to organize a volunteer group of hopefully specialized research people who could respond to these incidents very quickly, hopefully while the phenomenon was ongoing. So that's what I did. In 1970, I founded the first of three volunteer research groups that would investigate cases across the state of Pennsylvania. The first group was called the Westmoreland County UFO Study Group. We started here about 30 miles east of Pittsburgh, expanded to the Pittsburgh area, and it was quite a unique group in that most people involved had some kind of specialized training or background involved. And to my own surprise, I began to have people join my group who were scientists and engineers, for example, from Westinghouse Research, from Alcoa, from Gulf Research. There were people from colleges and universities. I had police officers and former military intelligence people and pilots and doctors, all kind of specialists, most of whom work with me anonymously because of their positions. And we started out very small, but by 1973, we had taken over the whole state of Pennsylvania. And surprisingly, the group became very well known, and we were beginning to get referrals on cases from state police, from other agencies, from the media around the state, and we became extremely busy. And that's how it all began, and I continued my groups for many, many years. Since 1993, I've been working as an independent researcher, and I continue to get many reports on my hotline and through my email website almost daily. So there's a lot of activity always going on, and Pennsylvania is just a very mysterious state.
It certainly is, and it shows up on Jeopardy a lot. And one of the questions was last week, the Keystone State, and nobody knew it, and I thought, oh, my gosh. Or another question was, this Woodlands became one of the 13 original cities. They didn't know Penn's Woods. We learned that in grade school. Pennsylvania means Penn's Woods. And the thicker the woods, I think the more mysterious the happenings.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of forests and woods in Pennsylvania. I've spent many days and nights scouring those woods after incidents, searching for evidence with UFOs and chasing Bigfoot through the woods. And surprising to most people, in the 56 years this year that I've been doing this research, I have never personally seen a UFO or Bigfoot myself.
Really? Well, I'll tell you something. This is going back to 1980, and I was driving from Middletown, Three Mile Island. My aunt and uncle lived there. I was driving up Interstate 81, and 81 goes north-south. So I'm driving north from Harrisburg, and usually there's traffic everywhere. And it was a Saturday morning around 11 o'clock in the morning, totally empty. And you're supposed to be looking at the road in front of you. I, for some reason, Betsy looks up in the sky. I don't see just one. I see two silver UFOs. Now, they were far enough away from, I wasn't panicking, I wasn't afraid, but I'm thinking, this is rather strange that there's not anybody else on this interstate but me. And there's a reason I'm supposed to see this. So then the next thing you know, they disappeared. And I continued going up, I continued on for a couple of miles. Still no cars. No cars at all. And I look up again, and there they are. They're back. Now, I wasn't beamed up. I didn't get any telepathic messages. But I know what I saw. It wasn't an airplane. Definitely not an airplane. And I don't know why I saw it, but for some, maybe it was just to say it. It's real, and I do believe something's going on. I don't have the answers. I've a million and one questions, but I don't have any answers.
And I said exactly the same thing. Of all the phenomena I've dealt with, I don't have the answers, but there's something definitely going on out there. And just to give you a similar type of event of a major highway where something happened and nobody else was on the road at the time, this is more recent. And this is the type of classic UFO cases we used to hear about back in the 60s, 70s, 80s. This just happened June 1st of 2013. This was in outside of Pittsburgh here in Westmoreland County along Major Route 30 in North Huntington Township. Here's a woman who did not believe in UFOs till this night, a young mother. She had a three-year-old child with her that night. She's pulling out of a convenience store and driving down Route 30 eastbound towards Adamsburg when suddenly she has to stop almost dead in the middle of the road. And she always said to me, she said, I cannot believe there was no traffic on either side of the highway at the time. And so what she sees is, here's this huge metallic rectangular object hovering about 60 feet above the four-lane highway, taking up all four lanes. It's about 55 feet long, probably 35, 40 feet high. The lighting configuration on it is unlike any type of navigational lighting. It's making no sound. Her three-year-old baby yells out loud, "Mommy, there's a flying iPad in the sky."
Oh, my gosh.
And she's on her cell phone at the time. She's trying to describe to the person on the phone what she's seeing. She has to pass underneath it. When she does, all the electronics in the dash of the car goes out, such as the radio goes off.
Oh, she's a braver woman than me. I don't think I would have been able to pass underneath it. I think I would have pulled over or something.
Well, she did. The clock goes out. Her cell phone signal was lost. She tries to take a picture with her iPhone. It wouldn't let her go into the photo mode. As she drives down the road, all the electronics comes back on. And when I saw her several months ago, the car she had at the time was not that old. She told me she had to get rid of the car because since that night, the car never operated properly.
Wow.
She's now a believer, by the way.
Oh, I guess she would be. I'm a believer, not just the song by the Monkees. Oh, my, or Neil Diamond. Wow. Yeah, they say, once I see it, then I'll believe it.
Yeah, but these are the kinds of things. These sightings go on all the time, year after year. I get reports all year round, all times of day and night, and all kind of weather. And these are the type of sightings that are just so amazing, yet rarely we ever hear about them in the newspaper, because what I've dealt with for so many years is that even today, many witnesses, especially people who've had extremely detailed close UFO or Bigfoot encounters or encounters that are cryptids, are so reluctant to publicly talk about it that they rarely would ever go to the newspapers and discuss what they saw.
Yes, and we were talking about Potter County and the Black Forest. Years ago, this is back in the 70s, I had a book, and I'll tell you where I bought it. At Penn State in College Park, I went out with a friend of mine was doing his doctorate out there. So we're best buddies in high school. So I go out there, and I go to their bookstore, and I buy this paranormal book. I don't even know where it is to this day. But it scared the living daylights out of Betsy. It talked about in Pennsylvania, being in the Black Forest in Pennsylvania, that walking into another dimension. Well, I'm reading this book out on my front porch in the summer of 1977. I told my mom, I said, I'm afraid to get up off the porch. I'm afraid I'm going to go into another universe or something. What the heck is going on in Pennsylvania? But I wish I had that book. But Potter County, I've heard so many stories from people, and my cousin wanted to retire there, but the Black Forest and UFOs and people just disappearing in state parks and stuff around the USA, not just Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but actually one of the stranger areas of Pennsylvania is along the Chestnut Ridge. The Chestnut Ridge is a mountain range that stretches from Preston County, West Virginia, through Westmoreland, Fayette, and Indiana County in southwest PA. It has a very long history of all kind of phenomena going on almost year after year. This would be UFO sightings, Bigfoot encounters with all kind of cryptids, from Black Panther sightings to gigantic birds like thunderbirds. And some of these thunderbird reports are extremely interesting, extremely strange, because some of the reports, the way witnesses describe it, they're more like pterodactyls or dragons or giant flying bats, something much, much stranger. And there's all kind of other phenomena along the ridge, you know, from unusual mysterious booms, which we had several months ago reported up in that area, to underground sounds, to things falling out of the sky, to all kind of anomalies up on the ridge, and people who claim they've seen, like, vortexes, as you talked about, up there. So I've spent many days and nights over the years up along the ridge, and year after year, we get reports of phenomena, especially Bigfoot encounters, and it's probably one of the most active areas in the country for these phenomena to occur.
Now, with Bigfoot, what's the scoop on? Because I did see you on our We Have Travel and Escape up here, and I did see your show about the Thunderbird and Bigfoot and UFOs, and they mentioned Chestnut Ridge, and the show is great. But what's the connection between Bigfoots coming out of UFOs?
Oh, boy. Well, this could be a little long.
That's okay. Go right ahead.
Going back to 1973. Okay, now I told you I had my first group founded in 1970, and by 1973 we had taken over the state of Pennsylvania. Luckily, we are already organized, because it was a most amazing time to live through. First of all, 1973, United States has this major wave of UFO sightings, which kind of peaked in the fall of that year, was making national news for weeks. Back in Pennsylvania, it started January 1st and continued to the end of 1973. And this is the focus of my Silent Invasion book, by the way. So all these UFO sightings are going on. And I should mention, one thing I found years ago, when you properly investigate phenomena, UFOs, Bigfoot, whatever, most sightings are determined to be their natural man-made origin. There's a lot of things you can explain. But there's also many incidents going year after year that are not so easily explained away. So many of the sightings back in 73 were not lights in the sky. They were large structured craft. In many cases, these things were, you know, hovering over highways, chasing cars, landing reports. I mean, it was just amazing. Just so many investigations, hundreds and hundreds of UFO sightings going on across Pennsylvania. And then in the summer of 1973, we have this massive outbreak of Bigfoot sightings that begins. And that in itself is just incredible. The stories, we could talk for hours about the incidents that happened. So this is going on for weeks and months, and many of these sightings were in daylight. And in some cases, there were multiple creatures seen together. And in a lot of the cases, there was physical evidence at the scene. So you had my teams of research people out there day and night. We're doing this around our jobs. In some cases, the state police or other police departments are responding to these incidents. So we were on the scene very quickly, and that's why we have a document these things so well. So this has gone for weeks and months, as I mentioned. I always felt that Bigfoot, from the history of Bigfoot and sightings in PA and other states and countries, is probably an unknown primate of some type. But as these events are unfolding during that time, many strange details began to come to our attention. One of the details, for example, was we would get our teams out to some of the locations of the sightings. There would be trails of footprints that would just suddenly stop and disappear. And then we began to see a pattern. For example, we would have a UFO sighting in a certain area, and within minutes, to hours, to days later, we would have a Bigfoot sighting or vice versa. And then we had cases with UFOs and Bigfoot seen together at the same time and place, including the famous incident I worked on from October 25, 1973, up in Fayette County again, along the not far from the ridge, outside of Uniontown, PA. This was a multiple witness UFO landing of a very large spherical object in a pasture. I'm doing this very briefly just to give you an abbreviation of what happened. The thing looked bright red and round as it's coming down, but as three witnesses go up in this pasture to investigate, this object is on the ground right above it, and what they're seeing is about 100 feet or more in diameter, but it's a bright white dome-shaped object, making this high-pitched sound illuminating the whole area, and they're standing there about 250 feet away from it in amazement, and then their eyes are attracted to a barbed wire fence line 75 feet away. Along that barbed wire fence are these two tall creatures, one behind the other, walking slowly in their direction. Well, these things, the one creature in front is about 8 feet tall, the one's about 7 feet tall behind it. They're walking very slowly behind each other. They have long, dark, matted hair hanging off of them. They have glowing green eyes, no neck. The arms are so long, almost down to the ground. They're making this baby crying sound. There's this strange stench in the air, and they can't believe what they're seeing. Now, the guy, the older fellow who was with these two young boys up in the field, he had grabbed a 30-06 and a handful of ammunition before he went up there. Some of the ammunition, two of the rounds were tracers, so they just give you that flaring effect. And one of the boys yelled at him to shoot him, so finally he took a shot, and then he fired a second shot with a tracer, and when he did, the largest of the two creatures reaches out as if to grab that tracer, makes this loud baby crying sound, whines, and then the object in the field suddenly vanishes and disappears. It's gone. It didn't take off. It just disappears. The sound goes out, and that glowing object is gone. And the creatures turn around, start walking back towards the woods, and the fellow starts firing live ammo into these creatures, especially the big one. And I remember how he said to me for years how he saw that thing with the glowing green eyes just staring at him as he's pumping ammunition into it, and these things weren't slowed down or hurt whatsoever. Well, they run out of there, went back to the farmhouse, told the family what happened, went to a neighbor's home, called the state police. And when the trooper arrives 45 minutes later, they go up to investigate with the witness. the trooper told me the area where the object had been on the ground was self-luminescent and glowing, about 100 to 150 feet in diameter, that it was bright enough that if he could have had a newspaper with him, he could have sat down with it and read the lettering off the newspaper.
Wow.
That's the short version of the story. It got much, much stranger. Don't have time to get into it. I wrote the whole thing up in my Solid Invasion book. It's probably one of the weirdest stories ever recorded.
Well, I'll ask, with all your investigations, have you personally ever been under what you feel is psychic attack?
Not really.
Oh, good.
No, I've had a lot of odd things happen over the years, a lot of very weird things with some of the cases I've been involved with. I can't really say that. I can just tell you, after that night, my team and I who were there had a complete change in our attitude, that we began to realize that there's a lot more to the UFO and Bigfoot mystery, and it was much more complicated and bizarre. And that was just one of the cases, but there were even stranger cases which happened, which began to suggest, from what we found, that Bigfoot may be something more interdimensional than a flesh and blood animal, which is why we have no bodies.
Well, I find it so fascinating, just absolutely fascinating. And I love a good mystery. I know people love mysteries, but, boy, it makes you wonder, what the heck is going on? What is really going on? And
there's no doubt. I think it's the phenomenon. I've said years and years ago, and I would say I probably spent probably as much, if not more, time out in the field doing actual field investigations, and I've gathered a lot of data and a lot of evidence over the years. And I had a lot of very skeptical scientists come in the field with me initially to investigate, and many of those people went away very much convinced that there's things out there we don't have explanations for. I said years ago, the phenomenon is so strange, it protects itself. And I personally think this is one of the reasons why the government has not come out and given us an answer to the UFO mystery. And, in fact, I've had incidents which suggests the government has an interest in both UFOs and Bigfoot, and I think that they may well be on the same path that I am, that we may be dealing with something that could be maybe interdimensional, for a better term, but we're dealing with a phenomena that under certain conditions, and it may well be that there are certain places that these conditions exist more often, maybe along the ridge, for example, where these things come into our physical reality, they leave physical evidence, they look very solid, and then they're gone. Where do they come from and where do they go? But I personally think the government probably does not have all the answers. They're not in control of what's going on. It's a worldwide phenomena, and there's nothing they can do about it at this point. And they're still trying to find out what this is all about themselves.
And now with people with cell phones, everybody has a can't. Well, Betsy doesn't have a cell phone, but everybody can videotape. I'll tell you something strange that happened to me. Do these UFOs or these objects ever take a different shape than metallic? I'll tell you why. This is about 5 years ago. It must have been the spring or summer, and it was getting dusk. It was getting towards 8 o'clock. But for some reason, I don't know why, I look out my window, and a block south of me, there's this, and I didn't have a camera. I didn't have a video camera. And there's this huge blob, it's pink, and it was about, gosh, maybe 100 feet long and maybe 50 feet high or whatever, and it's floating in the air towards the next apartment building. And I'm looking at it, and my logical mind is saying, I'll call it the blob, it's either going to go into that building. Now, what's going to happen to the people inside of there when that goes through? It's going to either crash or something's going to happen. But I watched, and it went behind the building. It didn't go through. It went behind the penthouse. It was the penthouse in the top, like, two stories of this apartment building. And I'm watching, and I'll say one-third of this blob is behind the building. So Betsy is waiting there, and I'm thinking, okay, blob, I'm going to wait till you come out the other side. I'm going to miss Jeopardy. I'm going to miss, you know, whatever else I'm watching on TV tonight. I have to see what happens. And one-third of it went behind the building, never came out the other side of the building.
Ah.
And I'm going, what? And I'm thinking, I wish, well, let me tell you, I went out and I bought a little camcorder. And because I thought, if that thing ever comes back, baby, I'm ready. But then I was listening one night. We have a show up here on Vision TV called The Conspiracy Theory. And one night, it was about Betty and Barney Hill. And it was about Betty was describing something, and she said about the color pink. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. Or pink energy. And I'm thinking, oh, I had the book, The Interrupted Journey. I think
yeah,
it was written back in the '60s or whatever. It happened in the '60s and was published maybe around 1971. Do you know now I got it out of our library, I bet you maybe 15 years ago. Now you can't take it out of the library. It's under lock and key. Now I find that rather bizarre. A book that everybody poo-pooed when it came out, and now many, many old books that you and I would know from way back when, like the pioneers,
mm-hmm.
that now they'll say one copy exists at the Toronto Reference Library, where before there'd be 30 copies of it floating around. I shouldn't say floating around the city, but I will say floating around the city. And now it's like, nope, not available.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those old books are collector's items now, that's for sure. But, you know, you just mentioned about watching that thing and not seeing it again.
And it didn't come out the other side.
Yeah, we just had an interesting case April 21st of this year up towards Butler County, north of Pittsburgh, where two people were in a car. It's about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. They see this bright flash of light in the sky, and in the distance they see this gigantic, huge object. They said it looked almost like a small, like one of those little mall areas. It was like buildings, very, very huge, dark, like a flying box, like a big rectangular solid black object with windows in it. And the interesting thing is it goes into this large dark cloud. So they pull over, and the guy has his camera ready for it to come out. He said they sat there for 45 minutes, and it never came out of the cloud, and they never saw it again.
I believe him. Well, we had a UFO here last July 28th, and it was in North York, which is about a mile up the road. Like, you have Toronto, then you have, like, the next little town. It's called North York. And all these people saw this UFO. And so then somebody, so the police of that said, oh, it was just some kind of a remote drone. Somebody was playing. It was not a drone. It was a UFO, but they just don't want to admit it. Yeah, because it's over the city. And it was, again, it was about 10 o'clock at night, a summer night. People are out on the patios and, you know, the restaurants, the patios, because we have four months of summer or 4 months of nice weather and the rest is winter up here that people can't wait to get outdoors. But now with people with cell phones, it's a whole different ball game. And with YouTube, it's just amazing what you can see.
Yeah, I get a lot of photos and videos in here to look at, and, you know, some of them are interesting, but again, you know, with my electronics background and some of the research people I work with over the years, one thing we know is that, unfortunately, digital cameras, because electronics in them, they can produce a lot of false images. I've gotten some great pictures I've got myself that look extremely strange and unusual, but I know exactly what caused them. So, you know, you got to be skeptical but open-minded with these reports. And you had mentioned a little bit ago about, you asked me if these things change into different forms. I've had incidents over the years where people were close, even in daylight, the large structured craft that suddenly changed complete different physical form. I've also had something you'll find interesting over the years. I've had some incidents where I've had, this was long ago, but for example, it was a group of people standing around, and only a few within that group could see this object, describe this thing hovering close by, but the other people couldn't see it.
Wow.
And I've said for years and years, studying the background, a lot of witnesses, could it be that certain people have certain abilities that they're able to perceive some of these phenomena that other people can't, or is the phenomena attracted to them?
I get you. Absolutely. Or people will say, oh, I never had a psychic experience. But you don't believe, so that's what you're closed-minded. But like you say, you have to. You can be skeptical, but keep your mind open a little bit. Yeah. Well, say a few words about my favorite bird, not Big Bird. Sorry, Big Bird. How about the Thunderbird?
Well, the Thunderbird reports are really interesting. I kind of lump together the various reports I get of anything that's gigantic like this. And, you know, just like with UFO cases, with some of these Thunderbird reports, it's very difficult to judge size and distance. But, like with some of the very close UFO sightings, we also have some very, very close Thunderbird sightings. And close enough where people could get a pretty good idea of the width of the wingspan of these things. And it could be, you know, they vary from 10 foot up to over 20 foot wide, like a small aircraft. And, you know, there's some really good incidents. One of my favorite ones, a guy interviewed several times, actually it happened in neighboring West Virginia back in the fall of 2007, I believe it was, outside of Clendenin, West Virginia. And this fella, early morning, was riding down the road, and he suddenly had to hit his brakes real hard because right there blocking the road right in front of him is this gigantic bird. It's standing there. He said the head of it was at least 4 feet tall because it was up above the liner of his vehicle. And this thing, he gave me a very detailed description of what this thing looked like. He said the bird looking at him looked as shocked to see him as he was to see it.
Wow.
It was hopping on one leg, on the other leg, trying to get off the ground very awkwardly because it was so big it couldn't hardly lift off, and finally it did. But he said the main thing he was watching was, now it's a two-lane highway in that area, and he could watch the wingtips right on the edge of both sides of the edge of the road. As it's flapping its wings, it's picking dirt and debris up off the roadway. And finally
wow.
It takes off. And the next day he comes back and measures the width on the road. It was 21 feet across.
Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. And my next book hopefully will be out in about a month. It's going to be on all kind of really bizarre creature encounters in PA. A lot of these are cases people have never heard of before. Some of the very, very strange reports people will be amazed at. And some of these cases, it's going to give people a whole different perspective on what we might be dealing with and the fact that some of these things, in fact, may not be normal flesh and blood animals, as hard as that is for me to say.
So where can we get your books, past and future?
Well,
past,
the third ones, you can get it either Silent Invasion, the Pennsylvania UFO Bigfoot Casebook, which has some of the weirdest stuff we ever read about with UFOs and Bigfoot, and also Really Mysterious Pennsylvania has a lot of incidents where people were extremely physically close to, like, UFOs, or giant birds, black panthers, Bigfoot, weird creatures. They're both available right now, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or autographed copies available through my website at stangordon.info. And they should keep going to my website because it's updated quite often with reports, events coming up where I'll be speaking. So you can always get new information on my website.
And can you give out your hotline number if anybody sees anything?
Yeah, I deal mainly in Pennsylvania, but people do call me from around the country and out of the country to talk about their experiences. Phone 724-838-7768. Email, which is the best way to reach me, is paufo@comcast.net. And I would like to mention that coming up this year is the 50th anniversary of the Kecksburg UFO crash. The Kecksburg Volunteer Fire Department is holding their annual Kecksburg UFO Festival July 24th and 26th in Kecksburg, PA, about 40 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. It's on my website. And the conference, as I said, is July 24th to 26th, but the conference is Sunday, the 26th, at 1:30 in the afternoon. We get crowds, huge crowds, people from all over the country have been coming in for the festival every year. This should be a huge event because of the 50th anniversary. It'll be a special event with a reunion of some Kecksburg witnesses and like a Q&A and a panel discussion, and it's going to focus on that event. So anybody in the Pennsylvania area, you may want to stop down to Kecksburg. It's a great free event for your family.
Well, Stan, thank you so very much. You're most welcome to come back anytime. I know you're very, very busy, but I hope sometime you can come back and share some more stories with us, and especially when your new book comes out.
Well, I appreciate it. I'd love to come back on the show again. Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for listening, everybody, to Tuning In with Betsy, and we'll see you back here on June the 15th at 1 o'clock. Thank you, and take care.